Services Department. I'm a Deputy Assistant Director there, and one of the areas of responsibility that I have is the analytics, performance analytics for the department, both financial and operational. And what we're going to do this afternoon is take a spin on that and specifically look at social media analytical tools. And I see there's a lot of interest in this topic by the attendance in this room. And I think that as more time goes on and really we see the shift over into social media for some of the things that we mentioned, sharing primary news information and sharing information, things like this will become even more useful. So I don't have any relationships to disclose. What we're going to talk about is really three things. The size of the social media networks, I have a brief slide on that, and then I'm just going to dig in to the social media analytical tools, both for Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram. And Instagram is sort of a new one. Every time I have done one of these or shared it, Instagram always comes up. It's like, are you doing anything on Instagram? We personally aren't doing anything, but I do have a slide on some of the analytical tools and what you can use to get information. And then I'll just give you another slide with third-party reporting tools. And there's so many of them out there, actually. Almost every day, every other day, I'll find out about a new one or one that can be used. So really, the field is wide open out there for this. So the very first thing, Facebook did their recent earnings call, I think it was last week, for their third quarter of their fiscal year, 1.19 billion monthly active users and 728 million daily active users. That's 728 million people around the world going online daily and using their platform. Twitter, in their recent S1 filing for their IPO, shared that they have 231 million monthly users. They don't disclose daily active users or the equivalent. And Instagram, you can go straight off their website. They're really open with this. They have about 150 million monthly actives is what they call them. So really, it's out there. It's getting used. People are out there in the world, really. This is a platform that they're using out there, and that's why it's of particular interest to us in public health as we want to get our messages out. So I'm just going to dive in. Facebook really has extensive built-in reporting, and I have to tell you that from when the abstract was submitted to now, the presentation for Facebook has changed dramatically, and that's because in the past 2 months, 3 months really, Facebook redid their insights, and those of you who are admins for your Facebook page, you'll notice that, and you really notice how useful this is. So my job actually became a lot easier in what I'm going to talk to you today. I'm going to go through some of those admin screens and really tell you how to be able to use them. They also have APIs, so if you want to go a little bit deeper and connect third-party reporting tools, these APIs, application program interfaces, are basically connectors that get that raw Facebook data and connect it to third-party tools. Facebook has over 100 of those and all sorts of things that you can connect to third-party tools. And they pretty much have a very extensive data archive, so you can go back and look historically. And by default, the data only goes back to a quarter, but you can manually export older data than that. And usual lag time for the insights is about 24 to 48 hours for what Facebook has built in. So when we look at total likes on the insights, you can really look at any time period that you want, and you can look at how your likes are increasing and decreasing. And this can be used to determine particular trends. So if you did a story or you published something or a post and you see a spike, you're like, okay, that really had traction with my audience. So you can really narrow down what is important to your audience. And I think the whole purpose of this presentation is to really understand your audience, who your audience is out there. So you have on one end, you have the social media user base, but on the other end, who's your audience? Who are you speaking to? Who's following you? Who liked your page? Who's a fan of your page? So total likes is one of the analytics. Then you have net likes, so your unlikes plus your organic likes and your paid likes. We don't particularly use any paid likes, but if you set a budget for that and do some advertising, you would see that here, and obviously you'd see your net likes. And again, you can see the spikes bar by particular days. Then you can look at where your page likes came from. Did they come from your page there in the dark blue? Did they come from page suggestions, posts by other people, or other things? So when we look at this particular graph, you can see that the post from this page really came from that that native page that was being used here. And you can then tailor your campaigns accordingly. Total reach, again, broken up into organic and paid likes. So here we have organic, and that is the reach of our post and how far the influence, if you can call it that, how far the influence of a page reaches. And then this becomes particularly useful if you do put forth a paid campaign. You can see what the effect of your paid campaign versus your organic. And some folks would probably decide to invest in some more payment if they see that has more effect than their organic reach. Also, the page and tab visits. So this shows what attracts people to a particular user's page. So in this case, a lot of blue means that they're coming from the timeline. That's really what attracts people to this page, and then the sum of that, the overall visits and the patterns in visitation by day. Or they can also come from the photos tab, the infos tab, your stories, etc. All right, and then you can also look at your external refers. So how do people get to your Facebook page, Google, in this case our city website, Bing, Yahoo, and then the other search engines that are out there? On fan data, this is particularly interesting. When you begin to look at this, and you can look at this by day, and you can also look at it by hour. So, for example, in this particular page here, you have a dip right around 3 o'clock in the morning, and then most of the user base for this particular page goes up from about noon to about 9 p.m. And that really helps you target at what time do you want to manage your posts, or do you want to put your information out there to get the maximum reach and get the maximum information to people, not only to increase your user base, but also so that people actually read it. You know, I actually read this right when I wake up, right? But that's probably not the best time for a page administrator to put things out, because it's not when most people are on it. All right, so then I'm going to pause a moment on this. When we look at all posts published, you can look at the individual effectiveness of each post. And I'm going to give you an example of what I was just talking about. If you look at the first post, it's what kind of toothbrush should be used on a baby's teeth, etc. When you look at that, you had a total reach of you had a total reach of 75 for this particular post as an example. And then you had an engagement, that blue bar that, on the far right is post clicks, and that purple bar there is your likes, comments, and shares. Well, that was posted, if you look on the far left, at 7 a.m. in the morning. The next post, which is when should you begin taking care of your infant's teeth, very similar in content, but look at the reach, but also the engagement. So now on this one you had way more post clicks that you had, so you had more engagement total on this. And the reason why, I mean, just a very basic reason, just look at the time that one was published, right? 2:52 p.m. So again, an example of using the time and using the data to better target your information. So then there's also the post types. You can see for status, pictures, and links. So for this particular page, most status posts or updates have the most reach, and followed by photos have the most engagement in terms of post clicks and likes, comments, and shares. So again, this is valuable information to help share. If I want more engagement, I'm probably going to put more photos and what do I want to share? I can target it by using this particular data. All right, now you can also look at your demographics in terms of who your users are compared to also Facebook's total users. So for example, in this particular page, all of Facebook users represents about 46%. The fans of this page are about 66%, so more women than men, and you can see compared to all Facebook users for men there. And the dark blue bars are the page's users, and the gray bar are Facebook. So you can see in each age category how that compares to Facebook. And again, that helps you target your messages. And you can also see where your users are coming from. So it'll give you a listing of cities. And this ties back not to an IP address, but where people register. So if I get on, I live in Houston, but if I get on and I say I'm from Monterrey, Mexico, it'll show up Monterrey, Mexico here instead of Houston. So it's by where they register. All right, so I'm going to switch over now to Twitonomy and the analytics. So Twitter does not have all the built-in reporting tools that Facebook does. So you have to really go out and look for a third-party tool. And when you look at the analytics here, you can use this dashboard view as a measure of effectiveness in terms of the tweets that go out, how many, and then you can look at some retweets, replies, the number of hashtags, mentions by day, and et cetera. You can also look at peaks in terms of mentions, and you can look at this by day or get down. You can drill down to a lot closer than we have here. I think this is a period of about 2 years that we have in this example. But again, it shows spikes in interest in terms of the mentions for your particular feed. And you can also look at your mentions map according to geographic area, and you can see where most of the mentions are in this case. For this example, Houston there is highlighted as the one with the most mentions. You can also look at your reach when you're looking at it, and this shows the influence of users that mention a tweet. And you can also use this to really target tweets that are of particular interest to those that are following you. So if you see somebody who has a high following and they're retweeting you or they're mentioning you, you probably would want to tailor your tweets to that particular audience or that particular follower, some of them at least, in order to increase your reach, because they're likely to retweet it, to mention you, and so on. That way your reach and grows. And then, again, there's a particular metric for retweets. Can tell you how many times it's been favorited, replies, mentions, links, and included hashtags. And then you can look at your followers and then see the number of tweets they have, how many people are they following. And this can really, again, as in the previous slide, help you target your tweets to those users that are going to be particularly interested in your content and then can help spread that content. All right, so for Instagram, really, like I said, we don't use Instagram, and there really is minimal built-in reporting, but you can have total measures of engagement for the account, and you can also do some limited connecting of the data through APIs that Instagram has. We don't use it, but I was able to find Simply Measured as a tool you can get out there, and it'll give you a quick snapshot view. It tells you how many photos, your total engagement, and your engagement per photos, and then it also gives you a nice little graph with your total engagement by the number of photos and engagement as a percentage of followers when you can see there on the right. So very limited, not as extensive as Facebook, but it'll give you an idea of what you're using. And then finally, third-party reporting tools, like I said, they're Simply Measured, Hootsuite, Nitrogram, TweetReach, SocialBro, and you can go on and on. I mean, there's so many of these that you can use. And I think what the message would be is whatever's particularly useful for your organization, whatever fits your budget, you can get some free accounts through some of these. But whatever's useful for you, I think that's, you know, what I would recommend. People come up and ask me, well, what do you recommend? We're doing this. I say, well, what are you trying to do? I mean, whatever's useful to you, that's really what you should use. Some of these are better than others. I'm not particularly promoting anyone. I'm just saying go out there and explore and see what works for you. And the free accounts for some of these will work for everybody. But I think the message this afternoon is really know your audience, know who you are reaching. So not just the user base, but who is actually following you, who's actually a fan of your page. Because if you do that, your messaging is going to be more effective, and this is going to become, you know, this is going to become more and more mainstream. I mean, it is already, and as we public health professionals look at this, we really need to put and pay attention to the social media tools and the analytical tools behind it, really, to get our message across more effectively. That being said, here's my contact information. If there's anything I can do or any questions I can answer, feel free to shoot me an email and give me a call. Thank you very much.
We only have three presenters, so we have more than enough time for questions. Benjamin, do you want to come up here with me, and then we can just tackle them together? Okay, so who has questions?
Yeah.
The 44.6% of the health education?
Yeah. So it seems like it's reaching, it's probably reaching a more public audience as opposed to like healthcare professionals. And I was just curious if you did any demographic
Not formally. I did use some of the analytical tools. We used Hootsuite in our study. That was just what I was more comfortable with. Our research for this study didn't technically really go into that. It was more just an exploratory pilot study, but I think it would be something really informative to look into to see, you know, how it is tailored to the different audiences. Mm-hmm. What other questions?
How valid do you consider the data coming off of these sites?
Do you want to take that one?
Yes, so the question is how valid do we consider the data coming off of these sites? I think to answer that question, I mean, it's the best available data that we have. You know, one of the things that I mentioned, right, is, for example, this information is provided by the user. So if I really live in Houston, Texas, but I put Monterrey, Mexico as my city, well, that's just the best available information that I have. I think the vast majority of the information, I would provide a high level of confidence, and the reason is because we get engagement for the type of things that we're putting out there. So if we put a message out there where we want to target young women, that's the sort of engagement that we get, and so I can tell, well, okay, that most of them are probably young women. So I would answer that way. I think that the tools provide us a really educated guess, clearly not 100%, but really educated guess.
And just to add to that, I know a lot of the disadvantages of using social media, a lot of people say, how can we regulate the content that is posted? How can we ensure credibility? How can we reduce the effect of publishing information that might not be valid? And I think having health departments have a presence on Twitter could lead to more valid health information where people can then retweet or share if it's on Facebook. So I think as producers of information on Twitter, if you are from a state health department or a local health department, any type of public health department, it is imperative that valid information is produced. I think it's important to cite your information, to tell where you're getting it from, to only post reliable information and hope that that can kind of reduce some of the other jargon that's on these social networking sites that might not be as valid. Any other? Yeah. Could you elaborate just a little bit more? I know we haven't. Have you, Benjamin?
No.
I don't think we have, but I think you could easily do that, especially with some of these analytical tools that Benjamin's just addressed, to see, you know, who exactly is retweeting these, or maybe survey the people who retweeted or something. I think I saw a question. Yeah.
Have you considered using Pinterest at all, or like social media sites in your research that's more visually appealing?
Yes, and I remember when we first started this, because I love Pinterest. That's my personal favorite. And right when we were starting it, it was still so new, we didn't want to tackle it yet. But I would love to see some research in Pinterest, especially because, I mean, the user scope of that is increasing drastically. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? All right, well, you have all of our contact information if you think of something later on. I know there are handouts posted online as well for you to refer to. Thank you so much for coming to the session. Just a reminder, there is a social put on by the Health Administration Section tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8 p.m., 257A. Thank you.